What do conductor Leopold Stokowski, T.S. Eliot, and Grandmaster Flash have in common? They've all won spots on the National Recording Registry. Today, the Librarian of Congress, James Billington, announced the first 50 recordings to be named to the registry. It was created to preserve recordings that are culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports.
There's a Metropolitan Opera performance from 1902, recorded in the wings by the opera librarian, a speech from 1895 by Booker T. Washington, and Herbert Morrison's 1937 account of the crashing of the Hindenburg.
It's burning and bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast, and all the folks agree that this is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world.
James Billington, the Librarian of Congress, says the nation's audio heritage is in danger. He says we've already lost at least 50% of the wax cylinders that were recorded before 1902 and hundreds of other important recordings, either because no one bothered to save them or because they weren't properly preserved.
Mark Twain recorded for the Bettini Company in New York City in the early 1890s. Duke Ellington broadcast over CBS from the Cotton Club in the late 1920s, and recordings, no one is able to find them, and we doubt that they exist any longer. NBC recordings of clarinetist Artie Shaw, broadcast with singer Billie Holiday, once existed. They, too, are now lost. There's a very long and tragic list.
The National Recording Registry is a result of the National Recording Preservation Act that was passed by Congress in 2000. A group of music and sound archive professionals nominated recordings for the registry's first list. The Library of Congress also solicited nominations from the general public. Virtually every music genre is represented. There's classical avant-garde from the 1930s, and more well-known recordings like Miles Davis's Kind of Blue. Sam Berlofsky, head of recorded sound at the Library of Congress, says that in addition to preserving recordings that are in danger of physical destruction, another goal of the registry is to find and reissue master or source recordings like Kind of Blue.
Columbia Records, which initially issued it, and Sony, which runs Columbia Records now, has put out this record, I'm going to conservatively estimate, a half dozen different times. And even in the compact disc era, I think there are at least three different versions of Kind of Blue out, and they're all a little different. They've all been equalized and maybe cleaned up. One thing that we will do with the recordings on the registry is we will determine which is the registry version, and we are going to try to go back to as close to the original as we can find.
The Library of Congress is also concerned about copyright issues that prevent much existing material from being accessible to the public. One example included on the registry is a series of early 1930s recordings of Leopold Stokowski conducting the Philadelphia Orchestra. The recordings were made by Bell Labs as part of an experiment working in stereo. They released two LPs in the late 1970s and early 80s, only to discover there were rights issues that hadn't been cleared. Sam Berlofsky says that's often the challenge.
To cover all those bases of the rights holders is often the legal fees are in excess of what you would get in a receipt from sales. So we do see some limits in what's issued.
The Library of Congress itself has hundreds of recordings it can't release to the public because of copyright issues. Berlofsky says there's no point in recording something if it doesn't get heard. The National Recording Preservation Act calls upon the Library of Congress to find ways to make historic recordings accessible to the general public. Berlofsky says inclusion in the National Recording Registry is a step toward that goal. 50 recordings will be added to the registry annually. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News, Washington.